So I don't know. I know nothing about your company. I went onto the website. This is cloud.com. And I see that you do backups. I see you've been with the company like 10 plus years. Is that right?
Yeah, no, pushing 11. So as of November, I'll be here 11 years, which is crazy. So I joined when we were a very early stage startup back in 2013, mm-hmm. towards the end of 2013. And yeah, our focus initially was around Google Workspace backup and then Microsoft Office 365. So we really focused primarily on the productivity tools. And those have been really our core business for many years now. We have close to 1,500 customers really across the world. A lot of them are in North America, US and Canada. And then we've started to introduce other major applications that customers are utilizing. So we've seen with SaaS adoption, a lot of customers are using 20 to 30 SaaS tools to run their business. So we've incorporated, right now we offer 7, in addition to Google and Microsoft, we support QuickBooks, Salesforce, Slack, HubSpot. And we're in the process of launching Shopify and Xero in the next couple of weeks.
So this is backing up all the data within these SaaS apps.
Yeah. So what I would say is all of the core data, right? So when you think back on the productivity tools like Google and Microsoft, you're thinking like your emails, your documents, your calendars, your contacts. So yeah. The core tools or applications that you're using on a day-to-day basis in terms of storing important information.
All right, cool. You're familiar with the majority of our audience are managed service providers. So their main tool, Microsoft 365, which I'm sure a number of them offer backup all. I've always wondered with the backups, these services that like yourself, where you're backing up like a Microsoft 365 tenant, what's the recovery like for something like that? Say, for example, the whole thing gets down and you get locked. So you get locked out of your tenant. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is like a scenario that's ever popped up. But like, how would you take the backup that you've done and then like restore that into a fresh tenant or get the data? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the times what we see is customers having more one-off scenarios where, hey, we lost this file or this particular folder or this person left the organization and maybe upon leaving, they decided to delete a bunch of information and we need to get that data back to whoever their boss was or whoever's taking on that role in the future. A lot of the times our product is very granular and it makes it very easy for an administrator or even an end user, because we do offer a self-service access, to go in and be able to recover the data. A scenario that you're talking about where, you know, our entire account, the entire tenant gets wiped out.
Yeah.
A lot of the times we will provide support. And that's one of the things we really pride ourselves on is customer success and the support that we provide to our customers. We actually had this happen about a month ago. We had a customer of ours. They had about, I think, 5,000 to 6,000 users. And they wrote a script in they were actually a Google customer, their Google admin console, and they lost all of their email for every single user. So we actually helped them do a bulk restore from the back end, because it would be a little bit tedious to go through the application and one-off restore every single user. So we helped them do that from the back end. And I think within a couple of weeks, all of the data was recovered and restored back. Our product does restore in parallel. So I'll always tell customers this, hey, if you're restoring 100,000 items for one user and then you need to restore 10 for the next user, it's not like you have to wait for the 100,000 to finish for that one user before the next one starts. It all restores in parallel.
I see. Yeah. That's quite cool. Yeah, because I'm aware that there was that pension provider that ran in Google Workspace and something happened to their tenant. But luckily they had a backup tenant. Yeah, quite 5,000 mailboxes, pretty crazy. So it's one of the main concerns one of the things in my head. So we had recently, at the time of recording this, August 2024, we had the incident with CrowdStrike. And then shortly after, which was earlier this week, we had a complete Azure outage due to denial of service attack. One of the things that I'm thinking from a business continuity perspective, if a large service like this goes down in the future, say for example, Azure, is the data that you're backing up, can that be interrogated on another platform? Do you guys have a tool or anything like that so that I can go into the data that has been backed up from SharePoint Online but I've only got like the backup file and I can't get it back into SharePoint Online. How would that work?
Yeah, great question. So what we actually do is we focus on providing a second copy of the data in an alternative cloud environment, right? For example, if the customer is on Office 365, their data is in the Azure cloud. We encrypt and back up the data in AWS, in Amazon's cloud.
Okay.
So the benefit there is even if Azure or Microsoft had a major outage, right, the customer would still have access to their data through our product for SysCloud in AWS. Now, again, they would have to export the data locally because, like you said, if they couldn't restore it back to SharePoint or OneDrive, they would still have an option to download it locally to their local machine in the event that there was a catastrophic incident like that.
So there is
still ways for them to access the data.
Still like some sort of usable format they could get to if the worst were ever to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and then that's our philosophy, not having all of your eggs in one basket, right? Because if you're on Office 365 and you're on Azure and you're going to run a backup also in Azure, right? You got everything tied there.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it just like those two platforms where you back up to, or do you have any of your own, like a third party service? How does that work?
So right now we exclusively back up with AWS. We do have multi-region support. If customers want their data in the United States, or if they want it in Canada or the UK or even Australia, we have AWS region support globally.
Okay.
And we are in the process of supporting GCP and Azure, meaning if a Microsoft customer wanted their data on GCP or a Google customer wanted their data, just to give customers other options
beyond
AWS. So that is something that we are working on right now.
All right. Next question. This comes down from, I would say, personal experience, but I've seen it happen a few times though, where you've got a managed service provider. They're providing their client with a backup service. They're managing the whole backup solution for that customer. The MSP, they're running potentially your piece of software or another backup service. It doesn't even have to be in the cloud. We could just be talking about local backups, not only kind of the endpoints or like a local file server or whatever. What I've seen in the past is the client's getting charged on a regular basis, like every month for this backup service. And the backup tool is reporting that the backup is completed successfully. But then something bad happens. Say, for example, someone accidentally deletes the file, deletes a partition on a hard drive, or accidentally just deletes everything. The server completely fails. The MSP goes to the backup, attempts to do a restore, and it can't be restored. So I've always said that, okay, if you're offering backup service, are you actually testing your backup service that you can restore? So is there any process or any feature within your suite, your tool set, where there's a test restore that can be carried out for, this is just going on personal experience. I don't know if it's part of a complete process now, but it's one question that's popped up in the past is, okay, are you actually testing your backups that they can be restored?
Yeah, no, great question. We have a pretty significant testing team here at SysCloud. And as we know, Microsoft, Google, these other cloud providers, they make changes to the APIs on a fairly consistent basis. So for us, we need to be up to date to ensure that our product, our customers doing a OneDrive restore and they're restoring a complex, there's several folders and they're sharing permissions. We need to ensure the fidelity of that is perfect. We do a lot of internal testing, which happens every day. And then we also do encourage customers to do monthly, if not quarterly, tests. It's very easy to just take data. We offer an option in our product, which is called a cross-user restore. So they could basically create a dummy account or just any active account that is not a real user. And they could take data from a real user and restore it to that other user, right? Just to see how it performs. Like, okay, we got all of the data back. We got the structure, the permissions. We got it back exactly how we want it. We definitely do encourage customers to do those things.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned there that your recovery process is in parallel. So it's not just one mailbox at a time that can all come back together. I know that AWS has different storage facilities. Like you've got Glacier storage and S3 storage. Where exactly within that stack is the data being held? Like, what is the time for recovery?
No, great question. So the way that we work is we actually, any data that is what we consider recent data within the past 2 years, we have the ability to restore like instantly. Basically, the process begins. Anything that's older than 2 years, I believe it can take up to 12 to 24 hours. There's a little bit of a process to get it going. And that's because, like you said, different like tiers of storage. I don't know exactly in AWS what each of them is called. So I think there's like Glacier Instant Retrieval, there's regular Glacier, right? So there's some different options. I know we're also in the process of offering some different capabilities. Customers who come to us and say, hey, we want to be able to restore everything. We don't care how old the data is, but like we want it immediate versus maybe a nonprofit or an education customer who's okay with, like, hey, it will be more economical or the pricing will be a little bit better. But stuff that's older than 2 years, yeah, maybe we have to wait another 12 to 24 hours to get all of it back. So yeah, we definitely, there are different tiers of storage classification, as you mentioned, in terms of how quickly you can recover data. But even beyond those things, it also depends on the throttling with the APIs and the cloud provider. If somebody's going to restore 1 million documents, right, even if it took an extra 12 to 24 hours to start, it doesn't mean that's going to be done in 1 or 2 days, right? It might take 5 days, right? It might take six days. So even if you had instant retrieval, instead of six days, maybe it takes five, right? So it's not, you know, as I try to explain to people, it's not going to be, there's other factors that we depend on.
Yeah, I've seen that before where you've maybe got one large video file that's going to transfer across much quicker than multiple small files at the same size. Okay. All right. My last question in regards to restore is actually, it's more to do with retention. You mentioned there 2 years or more than 2 years. Is there your standard sort of package? Is there a default retention in there? Is it something that you have to pay more for higher retention or longer retention?
Bill, great question. So our default retention is actually unlimited. From the time that the customer installs the product, we actually retain all of the data indefinitely. Now, they can configure retention based on their preference. There would be two options. One would be configuring the retention at the service level, meaning for one drive, we only want to keep files created or modified within the last year or 2 years. And then what I think is more common is user level retention. So when a user departs the organization and they're considered suspended, deleted, or essentially inactive, there's only so many days, months, years we want to retain that user's data. So we have those types of options. Again, our default's unlimited. So even if the customer deleted the user account from Office 365 admin console, we would still keep that deleted user and their backup in Syscloud indefinitely, but they could go and set a retention to auto remove that user over time.
Okay. Great. Cool. I think I'll leave it there. I don't want to get too technical.
Sure.
my head was going somewhere else there. So you want to maybe just give us a little demo of your interface, your platform, show us around.
Absolutely. Let me go ahead and share my screen. Well, you can see it here. Okay. So what I wanted to first do was log into our MSP portal. As I know, you mostly work within the MSP community so that they could see the platform here. And give me one second. Okay. I just realized that I have to plug in my charger. Peter's about to die here.
That's cool. Excellent.
I apologize.
That's all right. Well, hopefully you can stick around.
Yeah. I just wanted to do that real quick before we run into an issue here when we get cut off.
Yeah. No.
Sorry about that. Thanks.
It's okay. I'll cut this out. I'll edit this out.
Okay. Perfect. I appreciate that.
So you've got a dedicated sort of section for managed service providers that sort of their own. You've got this is a feature that you've got. So I'm going to guess it's so that you can create sort of custom customers. Yeah. You've got the button there, add customer.
Yeah. So exactly. So what the MSP would be able to do is click on this add customer button and they could look up here, XYZ company. And when they go in and add the organization, what that's going to do is generate an onboarding link, right? So if they have the administrator privileges for their customer, they can go and perform that onboarding for the customer, or they can send them the instructions as to how they can onboard.
Okay.
And then that that MSP can manage all of their customers within this portal here. So you can see a couple of examples of accounts that we have in our test MSP portal. So we can see the customer name, the date they were onboarded, what the actual account name is. This would be the super admin account that they use to do the install, what clouds are connected. So you can see here, like in this one, we have Google. This one, we've got Google, Microsoft, HubSpot, QuickBooks, Salesforce, a whole list of apps here. And then you'll also be able to see licensing, how many licenses are being used versus paid for, how much storage is being used. So what you'll be able to do then is also, if you selected a particular customer, you could actually do a couple of things. You can look at their licensing here. So if you wanted to add additional licenses, you would have that option. So you could add them by the cloud application. And then you also could go and actually view the customer dashboard. So you could look at the health of the backups and see how everything's running. You could even take it a step further by viewing the customer archives. By viewing the archives, well, I'll show you here. If I click on the dashboard view, we can just go in and access. It's really a read-only view. And if the MSP was going to have a greater level of access and actually go in and administer the entire application, then they can click on the view archives button. But this would just give them kind of an overview as to the health of the backup, how many days the data has been protected, the number of admins, the backup health status in terms of, you know, how it's progressed day to day. So we can see how many backups have been completed and which ones are still in progress. Any recent restores or exports that have been initiated, completed. You can see backup trend graphs to see how the backup has grown over time. And then there's some other details on admin roles and audit logs. And I'll show you in more detail what this looks like. But basically, they would have two options. They can access just the dashboard, or they can take it a step further and go and actually view the customer archives. By doing that, they're going to have to authenticate in either by using a Google authentication or username password option, which I've already done to save us some time.
So it's almost like a separate login for the actual client account.
Yeah, exactly. So actually, let me go back in and log in again as I got logged out. Yeah, so this would bring them into their actual, as you mentioned, the actual customer's account. And then from there, they have some different options. We looked at the dashboard, but they could go into the archives page so they can manage all of the backups from here. Actually, you know what? Let me go in. I think I went into the, I want to go into a different one here. Give me a second. Let me see if I can go into this real demo one. I think it was logging me into this other one. Oops. Oops, right back on the left dashboard here again. New customer archives. Yes, I want to log in again. So I think it's caching me. Let's see. This works. Yeah, so sorry, Scott. I just want to try logging into a different account. I think something got a little...
No problem.
Oh, give me a second. Just going to... Sorry about that. One second. Thanks for your patience here.
That's okay. It's Friday.
Yeah, because I think it was caching the other account that I had. So this was a better one to show the demo on. But now I should be able to. All right, so now I've got it. Sorry about that. Okay, so once we're in the customer account, we can go ahead and then we can toggle to look at the different applications. So again, the dashboard view, we can come in, we can see which applications this customer has backed up. As you can see, Google, HubSpot, Office 365, QuickBooks, Salesforce, Slack. Really where the MSP would spend a majority of their time once the backup has been configured is in the archives page. From the archives page, and I'll just show the Google Workspace example, or I'll show the Office 365 since a lot of MSPs focus on Office 365 page. So once they go in here, they'll be able to see the different domains. If this customer had 1, 2, 5 domains, however many domains the customer had, they can see all the domains, the users backed up on that domain, and how much data is being protected as well. And then once going in here, they'll be able to actually see the list of users. And as we were talking about, even users that have been deleted on the Office 365, so we're still retaining their backup. So this is presenting the status based off of the Microsoft admin console. So we can see the user, all the applications, the storage. We also do scan this alert risks. We scan for ransomware and other types of potential compliance threats. So I can talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. And then we show the backup completed status. The way that our product works is the backup runs once every 24 hours on an automated schedule. So it runs once a day and then it's set to automatically run the next day. And that just happens every day for that customer.
Okay.
And then you could drill in. So if you wanted to go into a particular user's archive, you can click on that user and then you could go and decide, okay, I need to restore the entire OneDrive or export it. You can do that right from here. Excellent. A lot of times customers will want to go in and get a little bit more granular and they'll want to actually restore certain components of the OneDrive. So you can come in here and restore certain files or certain folders. So if I wanted to. Yeah, so this is
going to go down to the file level. It's not just going to give you some. Can you do the same for the mailbox? Can you like go in and actually view the mailbox within here?
Yeah, exactly. So you can do the same thing. So, and I was going to mention here, you could restore to the same user or cross user. So you could type in a different user and restore over to another user within the organization.
Okay.
You can create a new folder. So it makes it very easy and clean when getting the data back. So we give the new folder option because we don't want you to overwrite existing data. Say that file still existed in Google Drive. You may not want to overwrite the existing. You may want to create a new copy in a new folder. So that's what
I can see how that is there. I can see how that'd be quite useful. Like you had an employee that's leaving and then you've got someone else come in to fill that position. You can literally just go into the here and restore their old employee's OneDrive as a folder into the new employee's OneDrive. Okay. I can see how that'd be quite useful.
Yeah. And then you could also go to a previous point in time. So if users have made changes or deleted data, or you got hit with ransomware and you want to say, all right, I want to recover the data, how it existed on July 18th. You can go back to a previous snapshot.
So it's taking an actual snapshot. It's not just that, that's that file and how it's changed over time or those files. Okay. That was what, cause that was one of the things I was thinking about asking you in regards to if you've got unlimited retention. I can literally go back all the way in the calendar. So when we first started backing up and take,
right, that's right. Yeah. That's so that first day that you start would be your initial historical base backup. And then every day is the incremental snapshots point forward. That's right.
Okay. And this, your tool, does it just look for new users that pop up in the Microsoft tenant and add them in automatically into here?
That does. As part of the backup job, if you configure the backup domain wide, we will automatically add anyone new that's been added to that tenant into the tool. It's an automated process.
Excellent.
And then you'll also, as you were asking about, if you want to toggle over to email, right, I could go over to the user's Outlook from here as well, or any of the other applications.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Restore same user, cross user, you can restore to a new folder. We do offer a preview in the email as well. This can be turned on or off based on customer preference. So there's different admin settings, which I'll show you quickly, but you have that option. The other thing that I wanted to mention when looking at Office 365, we actually back up SharePoint and Teams at the domain level because they're not tied to an individual user, like a user's mailbox or their OneDrive. So when you're going to access SharePoint or Teams, you would come down here and you can see all of the SharePoint sites across the organization. So they can all be searched for here. And then again, you can restore the entire SharePoint site, or you could drill in and restore specific components of that site. You'd have those options. Additionally, there's reports. So when you go to initiate a restore, you're going to see the progress of that restore. You can see this is a test account where we do some testing. But normally when you're going to do a restore, like the one we did here, 14 items on May 31st, it took 3 minutes. So it's usually going to be a pretty quick process. But again, you'll see the source account that you're restoring from, the destination account that it's being restored to, number of the service that you're restoring from, number of items, the administrator who initiated the restore, the date that started, the date completed.
Okay, you'll have all of that. We've got a whole lot of log there. Okay.
You know, the export report as well. Whoops, I hopped into HubSpot, but I'll show you on the Office 365 side. You have an export report also, and you'll be provided a download link. I think it's available for 15 days and then it expires and you'd have to reinitiate it. And then we also have, as you were alluding to, an access management page as well as an audit logs. The access management is really where you're configuring the level of access. If you want to grant other administrators access to SysCloud, maybe somebody who's not even an Office 365 from your admin Azure console, maybe they don't even have access there, but you want to give them access to the backups. So you have that granularity to go in here and do that. You also have self-service access there. Yeah. So the administrator access would look like this. If I went in, I can see all of the users who currently have access and I can add or remove any of these users. I can also customize the access. If I clicked on Bruce here and I wanted to say, okay, Bruce is only going to be responsible for our Office 365 backups. And maybe I don't want Bruce creating or modifying backup jobs or emailing or previewing user email content, but he can go ahead and do all of these other things here. You can really customize the level of access for these administrators.
He also mentioned the compliance, like, you know, sensitive data. You had warnings there on the mailbox, some of the mailboxes.
Yeah. So let me just confirm we have. So what we have is a tool called Backup Data Insights. This is what I think really separates us in the industry from a number of the other players, is that we really focus on beyond just the basic backup and restore. How can we give you a greater level of insight into potential threats of ransomware, potential threats of sensitive data exposure like PCI or HIPAA, right?
Okay.
So what this allows the customer to do is go in and actually see the incidents. And then there are some options that they can take. So for example, if this file was infected with ransomware, I could actually go and delete it directly from my Office 365, my OneDrive. I could also delete it directly from SysCloud. Maybe that most recent backup, I don't want that anymore because we deem that it's been infected with ransomware, but I want to go restore from a safe snapshot. So you have those options within the tool.
All right. So this is like one of the main differentiators then between yourself and like your competitors' alternatives.
Absolutely.
Certainly here in the UK where I am, we came out with the euro and stuff like that, at least recently. So there's been a move with companies that they're taking their data out of like the European data centers that maybe in Germany and places like that and moving them to the UK. Is there an option with SysCloud? Where exactly in your AWS service that the client's data is actually backed up to?
Yeah. So when the customer goes and performs the initial install and goes into the process of creating what we call this backup job, before doing that, they will go through an onboarding guide. And one of the questions we'll ask them, like, where do you want the data housed, right? As I mentioned, I think we have four or five options. It's definitely US, Canada, UK, and Australia are the options that we provide. But based on preference, we can also provide another region if a customer wanted the data in another region that we didn't support at the moment. That's also available. Okay.
All right. That's good to know. I'm looking at your bottom right there, your own McAfee. It's out of date.
Maybe we've got
an MSP that can help you there, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, better. Like finally, the virus solution to SysCloud than what you're running at the moment.
I hear it.
There's a lot of people. McAfee's, if you speak to any IT guy, it's like, why do you have this on your machine?
I know. I need to. I'm probably in the.
That looks like the one that came with the laptop because it's got Dell logo on it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Okay, we'll tie it up here then. Last thing, it's always the question that people want to know first. How much does it cost? What's your commercial structure? Is it on file size? Is it on tenant? How does it work? Are we going to get charged for our restore? How does that all work?
Yeah, no, great questions. We do offer a 30% discount to managed service providers when they go ahead and purchase the product. It is a licensing fee per user per month. So each account that's licensed is essentially provided unlimited storage. So they don't have to worry about, once they license the user, they don't have to worry about the storage. Sometimes with larger enterprise customers where they have petabytes of data, it may make sense to explore storage-based options. But I think when working with MSPs, the user-based licensing makes the most sense. For each license that you pay for, the storage is unlimited and you don't have to worry about it.
That's going to be easier for them also to resell it to their customers, isn't it?
And they can pay month to month, quarter, yearly, whatever their preference is. We're flexible there.
Cool. Okay. And I'm going to assume that's on a sliding scale. If it's five users, then it's a certain price. And if it's 500 users, you're going to get a better deal.
Yeah, exactly. Our retail pricing starts around $3 a user a month. But again, based on tiered pricing, based on adding, like you said, once you get up to a couple hundred users, 1,000 users, then that pricing can get better.
Say, for example, as an MSP right now, they're doing any sort of Microsoft 365 backups, and they like the look of this. They go and click on the link below this video, whatever that might be, once they publish it, and they go and sell it to one of their customers. They sell a service to one of their customers, and they get the commercials from you. They know how much they're paying. Then maybe one of their other customers, they onboard maybe five or six of them. Is it the same commercials that they're paying, or do you look at, as an account manager, are you looking every quarter, or is it like an annual thing where we're going to review the cost per user?
Yeah, great question. I think what we would really try to do is do it monthly, even as soon as monthly, right? If it's an MSP that we're having a lot of success with and they're onboarding a number of new customers and a number of licenses per customer, we can definitely work with them on the pricing. And also, as I mentioned earlier on the call, we also do provide a dedicated customer success team. So we want the MSP to feel like, hey, we're not just giving you this product and saying good luck. You're going to have a team from SysCloud that's going to be there to help you along the way, right? If it's technical support, if you just need help with onboarding or training within the application, all of those things will be provided unlimited at no additional cost.
Just do you provide any sort of marketing or sales support for them?
Yeah, so we do have some one pagers that they can pass out to their customers. And I know that is something we're continuing to add to.
Cool. I had another question there, but I think it's left my head now. It's because it's Friday.
No worries.
I think that's it, Ryan. I think I'm done for the week. But it was really great to get an eye on your product. It's certainly something that I don't have any experience with. Because this is when I was doing the MSP thing, it was like the pre-cloud. But it's like an essential now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, like you said, I think cloud backup is pretty mainstream. When I joined here 10 years ago, I think a lot of people were like, why do I need to do this? Doesn't Microsoft do this? Now I think people have realized that having a backup is critical.
And the more of these large outages that we continue to have, the more that I'm thinking, actually, that's one, my final question. Now this, I think it's probably going to be a no. You're dedicated to AWS for your storage. I couldn't use your SaaS application to back up to a local database in my office at the moment.
That's correct. Yeah, we are strictly a cloud backup solution. Everything we do is cloud. Okay. So we don't do anything local. Yeah, great question.
All right. Cool. All right. I think we'll leave it there then. Ryan, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Scott. It was a real pleasure. Really appreciate the opportunity. Have a great weekend.